WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News.
App.
I'm Em Nguyen. At the Pentagon this morning, a flag was unveiled, marking 22 years since the 9/11 attacks. Commemorations now underway in Lower Manhattan. ABC's Derek Dennis is at Ground Zero.
Among the dignitaries, families of victims, survivors, and 9/11 first responders here, Joe Pfeiffer, one of the first fire chiefs on the scene that day.
We saw this plane flying at a very low altitude, extremely fast, but was so low I could read on the fuselage the word American.
Joe's brother Kevin was a firefighter under his command.
I ordered him, as I ordered many of my other fire officers, to take their unit and go upstairs to evacuate the building.
Kevin died in the collapse of the towers. Joe says he'll never be forgotten. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
Also today, ceremonies in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where hijacked Flight 93 crashed in a rural field. This is ABC News. In Pennsylvania, police are still searching for the murder convict who escaped prison 12 days ago. Authorities say Danilo Cavalcante drove 25 miles away in a stolen van and changed his appearance. In Texas,
the largest Bitcoin mining operation in North America is a massive warehouse filled with computers running 24 hours a day. During the heat wave last month, Texas energy regulators asked that facility near Austin to shut down and offered a tantalizing reward.
I was outraged. You know, this is absurd.
Luke Metzger is executive director of Environment Texas.
The rest of us are not getting compensated for reducing their electricity use.
Riot Platform says the $31.7 million in energy credits it was paid for cutting power usage last month was four times the amount it made from selling Bitcoin. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Rescue teams in Turkey say they can probably haul an American explorer all the way out of a cave by the end of the day. Mark Dickey fell ill 3,000 feet down last month. Em Nguyen, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. Here's a tip for you commuters. The Donald A. Tillman or Mason Street Bridge in Green Bay will be closed temporarily tomorrow, Tuesday the 12th. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says the bridge will be out of commission between 6 a.m. and around 2:30 p.m. The bridge will be shut down for routine inspection and fall maintenance. Officials say the closing has nothing to do with the incident last week where a pillar was struck by a semi. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources wants to pay you for pine cones. They will pay up to $125 a bushel. It's all part of the agency's reforestation project. This time of year is the perfect time to collect red pine cones in northeast Wisconsin. There is, however, a process for collection, and the DNR suggests calling a nursery to make sure you're doing it properly and to make sure purchasing is still available. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This
is a good party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop. Right on.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I kind of came in here in the nick of time.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the Packer game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been a lifelong Packer fan. You know what? It was one of the more fun games to watch. They've got a really good team. Their defense, you know, people can talk about the offense. Their defense was fantastic.
The 8 of the starting 11 players on their defense are first-round draft choices.
Yeah, but they're fast. Yeah. I mean, they just have lots of tools. I think it's going to be much more of a team going forward than it was for the last couple of years when it was all about Aaron Rodgers.
There's no question, Sandy, that they have a great, young nucleus of players. And what happens in sports today is, you know, these guys are all in their rookie contracts, most of them. And, you know, once you get beyond that, you can price yourself out of the league, right?
Well, at least price yourself off the team.
Yeah, right. Yeah, off the team.
Yeah, so I watched the Packers. That was a cool thing for football. But the coolest thing that I did this weekend that involves sports was a very good friend of mine. It was you. On Saturday, we were going down to Racine, but on the way, we stopped at Lincoln Park, and I saw the youth football program that you founded in Milwaukee, and it blew me away. I was not aware that Milwaukee had a program of that scale. I went to Lincoln Park. I think you. What's the name of the group?
The Neighborhood Children's Sports League.
And you helped found it when 20 some.
Well, for 20 years I was the president of the Neighborhood Children's Sports League, and I kind of dedicated my life to doing that, and it's good to see it still around.
Well, I mean, it's not just still around. I mean, it was. I've never seen anything like it. I you know, there's youth football, and you see it in places. And this rivaled the soccer kickers program in terms of the scale of what was going on. And it was so much fun to see families all showing up for the games for their kids and siblings. And there were thousands of people in Lincoln Park. And how many games were going on at once? Six,
well,
maybe?
So 6 games. There's 30 football. When I walked away from it, we had 30 football teams. We had 10 organizations. And I'll bet you in 20 years, Sandy, we would play, I would say, 15 games every Saturday. I think over the 20-year period of time, I probably miss maybe 10 games.
Oh, wow.
I was always there.
And, well, it was fun because, you know, it was old times week. You know, you knew everybody.
well, I didn't know everybody. There's a nucleus of guys, small nucleus of guys that are still left. And it was good to see them. Most of the people there don't have an idea who I am. And it doesn't matter because it's in good hands, and we left it in a position where they're going to carry the legacy on, hopefully for decades. Because what this, Sandy, when you hear all the negative stuff about the city of Milwaukee and children in the city of Milwaukee, nobody ever knows or spends time talking about the positive things and families. But what I wanted during the time that I was there was to make it family oriented. And you see families, cousins, everybody
yeah.
is there.
No, it was an event. You know, yeah, it was clearly a family event. It was spectacular to see. And then you said on the car, you said that there was, when you were doing it, you also had basketball and golf going?
When I ran it, we had boys and girls basketball and golf. And so I remember I was a much younger guy than
I can't believe it.
I was a much younger guy, and so I could take on all those things, Sandy. But what we did was built community through sports. And even in all the negative things that are happening in the city of Milwaukee right now, I always try to get people to understand that there are these great things that happen that people don't know about, right? And the magnitude of what we do, and I still say we, because even though I'm not there, my spirit is still there, and I'm going to always talk about the sacrifices that those guys. You heard some guys that have been there 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was inspirational. It really was. I don't know who said it, but... you know, there are two remarkable times in your life, the day you're born and then the day you realize why you were born.
Yeah.
And I knew when I saw you walking around there that when you started doing that, that's when you realized why you were born.
Yeah, it's 100% accurate because prior to that, you know, I mean, I worked at A.L. Smith for 34 years and you know, I would go in and... why are we talking about this? There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. But you know what? This is the kind of stuff that we don't hear enough about. You know, the good news, particularly the good news in the city, and the ability to have an impact in the city with a limited. I mean, you know, this organization needs money. I mean, and the teams each raise money, but it's all mostly raised by each of the teams. They're taking care of themselves. I think we would all do well to understand how much positive impact we can have with effort, and how much impact an individual can have. You had a great deal of impact by, and it wasn't, obviously, you can't do it just yourself. You were able to excite the interest of many, many people, just as you are now doing with Voice of the Elders, you know, so it's
really... Well, you know, Sandy, I had none of those things could I have done without a wife who tolerated her husband being gone. And even my sons, that I wasn't there all the time because I was doing those things after work. And, but every time I go and see it, you know, I shed a tear because there's some guys who were with me, who are no longer there. There was a guy named Bob Reddick who, was so inspirational to all of us. And even on his dying bed, he wanted people to keep that league going, right? He said, keep it going. And, you know, we got to save the kids. And so, you know, he, in his last breath of life, he said, keep this going. And so we had inspiration to keep it going. And as you heard some of the young guys say, well, I used to play in the league.
Yeah.
and now I'm coaching.
One of the guys would played at TCU, and and people who had gone on to play pro ball. I mean, but more remarkable is what it does for those kids each day, and then each year, and what it does for how they plan their future life and the path they take. I mean, we need more of this.
You know, Sandy, those kids that are engaged in that league won't be stealing cars. One of the things that I would always do when I was running the league was to tell the coaches, you're more than a coach. Okay, you're catching kids at these very young ages, impressionable ages, and that you have to incorporate in these kids the understanding that sports, football is a game. It's not life. But it can help add some things to your life.
Right.
But we had to get them to kind of understand that. And yeah, I never said it was going to be easy, but I will tell you the fact that it's still moving. And at a time when clearly, Sandy, things and families are not what they once were, every practice, those parents are at the practice. Those guys take those kids going right around May, and they start. You heard the one guy say
he started a program with in the spring.
Yeah,
no, I was totally impressed, and you know there are family soccer families and hockey families and all that, but I think people should understand what a big part in a kid's life it is to have that kind of structure and that kind of family involvement. And we just need to make sure that it's available to everybody.
You know,
and you've done a huge thing. It's still not available to everyone, but it's available to a huge number of people. And I was much more inspired by that than I was by the Packers.
Well, you know, Sandy, and I'm honored that you would feel that way. But we went up to Racine, and we saw these great opportunities for other kids.
Yeah,
right. Those opportunities aren't in the city.
Right, that YMCA, they had a sports expo going, and they had, you know, they had everything. They had everything, and things you wouldn't, but you'd be surprised about
that they're exposing children.
Yeah, but kids could come to the Y and Racine, and they could take up any of these things with little or no cost associated with it, and we need to make sure that Milwaukee has just those kind of programs all over the city.
You know, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Got a lot to talk about, Sandy, but thank you for mentioning the Neighborhood Children's Sports League. It is a 501c3, and mothers who are single mothers, it means the world to them. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 63. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows level off around 51. Overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 64. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Mainly sunny skies and calm Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 63. 70 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 58.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The final curtain, my friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain, I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Is Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, 22 years ago today.
Yeah.
You know, the shock that we all experience.
It was a bright, sunny morning that morning.
Right.
Not cloudy like today. Warm, sunny, beautiful September.
I never will forget. I was working third shift. I had come home, get off at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was, you know, in the bed, and my wife came in and startled me and said, "Hey, we're under attack." And the first plane had hit the tower, and it hadn't collapsed yet. And I remember saying, Sandy, after the collapse of the towers, tens of thousands of people probably died. Because for people who hadn't been to the World Trade Centers, those were, man, it just.
Yeah, they were very huge buildings. They had big footprints, and they went up as high as you could, you know, bend, crane your neck to see the top. They weren't very pretty, but they were massive.
And the business that was.
Yeah. They had, and some entire businesses. Cantor Fitzgerald, I think, was the name of it. It was a commodity trading firm, lost everybody. They were all in floors higher than the planes
right.
hit and never were able to get out. It was, you know, it was horrifying. I mean, the number of deaths wasn't as great as it could be, but it was just startling to the country, and the process through which it went, you know, with firemen racing up the stairs into
right.
a building that was going to collapse. I just remember clearly the first one hitting, then the second one, my God, now the first one, oh, wow, that's a terrible accident. Second one, oh, this is no accident. And then the video, ongoing video, I was sitting up in my office on the the top floor of the U.S. Bank building, and I realized, you know, maybe there's a plane coming here, you know. So we all went, we all left the office.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, we all, because who knew, you know?
Right.
Maybe they were going to hit tall buildings in every city. I had a guy that I knew well who was in the 88th floor of the Sears Tower, and he did the, they did the same thing. The Sears Tower evacuated, went downstairs. Everyone thought, you know, planes are going to be hitting things all over. This is, it was horrifying. And then, both of them are smoking and burning, and then they both collapse. It was just an unbelievable thing.
You know, it's 22 years later, and how soon, you know, time kind of takes us away from those horrible thoughts and what took place, but not with everybody, their families that still have to relive that every September 11th. But Sandy, what I will say is, it spurned the war on terror, which is what we are still dealing with today.
Yeah, I think it spawned, something like that is bound to happen. It spawned a very powerful reaction, and in many respects it was a reaction against the Mideast and against Mideasterners, and it, I think we might be slowly getting over the views we had about Mideasterners. I mean, I can remember people who wore turbans who weren't even from the Mideast, Sikhs and others were under attack because of the fact that they appeared to be different and appeared maybe to be Mideastern or Muslim. So that part has been a learning curve that we've had to get over, and I'm not sure we are over it.
You know, Sandy, it also spurned even more spending in the military budget. That we have not purged ourselves from.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the it spawned you know, we looked at that because in 1995, whatever year we looked at, when the military budget was in the $300+ billion range, and it was in the 1990s, mid 1990s, and you know, now what are we at? We're at, you know, $860 billion. You know, it's almost tripled, and a lot of that has been this. You know, it seems as if our military establishment seizes the moment. You know, whenever we have these kinds of problems, we don't just react. We might seriously overreact. You know, because now, you know, it spawned, I think, in us a concern that we could get attacked on our soil by all sorts of people. China, you know, really. But you know, I think that we're behaving and spending money like we're worried about attacks on our soil.
You know, Sandy, part of what has occurred is the government is admitting now that war on terror is not the most dangerous situation that we're facing. It's internal right now, okay? And so we're still spending all that money on the war on terror, even though they admit that Al-Qaeda and those entities really aren't as dangerous as they once were. They've kind of eliminated most of that, but it's the internal aspects of the threats to our nation now, and yet we still spend all the money like it's still a global threat.
Right. Well, you know, we don't get a return internally to this country very much from military expenditures, supposedly peace of mind. Some people would say, oh, well, we get all kinds of scientific advances through it. Well, we can get scientific advances without spending it on military. And then, of course, there are jobs that are created internal to our country, which is part of the reason why you know, the military-industrial kind of complex has such power politically.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. At the Pentagon this morning, a flag was unveiled, marking 22 years since the 9/11 attacks. Commemorations now underway in Lower Manhattan. ABC's Derek Dennis is at Ground Zero.
Among the dignitaries, families of victims, survivors, and 9/11 first responders here, Joe Pfeiffer, one of the first fire chiefs on the scene that day.
We saw this plane flying at a very low altitude, extremely fast, but was so low I could read on the fuselage the word American.
Joe's brother Kevin was a firefighter under his command.
I ordered him, as I ordered many of my other fire officers, to take their unit and go upstairs to evacuate the building.
Kevin died in the collapse of the towers. Joe says he'll never be forgotten. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
Also today, ceremonies in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where hijacked Flight 93 crashed in a rural field. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
Two people are dead after a head-on collision in Manitowoc County. The two-car crash happened in the early morning hours on Sunday. Manitowoc sheriffs were called just before 5:30 to the town of Cato. A 21-year-old woman was pronounced dead at the scene. Her car allegedly crossed the center line and hit another car driven by a 17-year-old high school senior. She was transported by helicopter to the hospital and later died. The Wisconsin State Patrol is investigating. The city of Appleton is working hard to keep alive the memory of a fallen firefighter. First it was an Appleton post office, and now it's a park that will honor firefighter Mitch Lungard. City officials and planners broke ground on Lungard Park, which will be located next to Mitch's old fire station, Fire Station 6. Mitch Lungard was shot and killed in the line of duty in 2019 while tending to a medical emergency.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
People say you're riding high in April, shot down in May, but I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June. I said that's life,
that's life,
and as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. Cause this fine old world.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, the more, when I'm listening to things like that Frank Sinatra and the big band era. It was a different time, right?
Yeah, you can almost smell the cigarette smoke. You know, things were way different. I mean, you know, everyone dressed with coats and ties. In fact, I was thinking about that with respect to the coaches. My high school football coach, bad guy that he was, he wasn't my favorite, but he wore a coat and tie and a hat. And Bud Grant, you know.
Minnesota Vikings.
He always wore a coat and tie, and the coach of the
Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, he. And what was his name?
I'll think of it in a minute.
Yeah.
And Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
It was the deal. And Halas. I mean, people, when you go to a baseball game, look at a picture of the Milwaukee Braves and the Milwaukee County Stadium at a baseball game in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
All the men in the audience are sitting with sport coats and ties and smoking cigarettes and listening to Frank Sinatra.
Time moves on, and so nothing's ever what it was, and maybe that's the way it is. You know, not maybe that is the way it is, and you know, our times that I think life was much simpler.
Well, interestingly, coat and tie—it's an interesting gesture. And my sense of coat and tie is that it was a statement of self-respect and mutual respect. You dressed up so that you would look good to others and that you would fit into a norm and that you would express yourself in terms of some self-pride, okay? And we seem to have given up on that with respect to clothing. And maybe it's symptomatic of a change we have in the way we deal with one another and the amount of mutual sort of civility and self-respect. I do think that the 50s were a period of much greater civility than today. And somehow this music reminds me of that because things are different today in terms of how we treat one another.
Well, there's no question, Sandy, about that. And so the tragic thing about it is, when we go, that time is gone. And you know, I guess the people can say that about the 20s, the roaring 20s.
Sure. I mean, people will say that about every period, right? And it's clear that fashions evolve and societies evolve. I'm afraid, however, that fashion that left, you know, business dress that left was a reflection of a change in our civilities and the informality that was introduced to the country through California and spread across the country created as well a lack of formality in our interpersonal dealings that led maybe to some interpersonal dealings that are now reflected in the polarity of our politics, but also the rhetoric that's involved around our politics and the lack of decency associated with it.
You know, Sandy, we've come so swiftly. I remember cogently thinking about down the road for the 2000s, right? Yeah. And that was so far away. And not being able to envision what the 2000s... We're almost 25 years into the 2000s.
Oh, I know. This is in 1980, I was expecting us to be doing interstellar travel. Yeah. You know, be going to the moon, going to Mars. This was the future. Now here we are. It's today. Now we're still thinking about the future.
Let's do this. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Andy. I remember when I was going to party like it was 1999.
Yeah, no, man. I remember that as well.
God, I love that song, and what an entertainer that gentleman was. Least we forget, 9/11, 2001, I'm sure most everybody who experienced it can remember exactly where they were. And our appreciation for first responders has grown. And quite a tragic day in our history. I'm tempted not to delve down this road, but Sandy.
Oh, why don't you not do it, CJ? just myself, use some Sandy, self-control. You can do it. You can do it, friend.
Well, after watching that choreographed press conference in Hanoi, Vietnam, what a tragedy. Even your own party, Sandy, saying don't vote for this guy. And
but clearly they're not saying vote for Donald Trump. If they're saying don't vote for Joe Biden, they're clearly not saying vote for Donald Trump.
I think what the party is saying is they would prefer that there be another candidate.
That's true.
I think that 60% of the poll, one of the polls, you know, I'm in that same camp, CJ. It's not that I dislike Joe Biden. It's that I just think that it's time for us to hand the reins down. I think 78-year-olds are too old, and I know another 78-year-old who's running for president. So I just think that we ought to, the baby boomers need to hand the reins to the next generation.
And you know they've asked that question of Mitch McConnell recently. They've asked that question of Feinstein. They asked that question
Nancy Pelosi,
and they all clearly basically thumbed their noses and said no.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing, though, that CJ, you know, you mentioned the press conference in Hanoi. That is proof that that the world does evolve. You know, in our lifetime, 50 years ago, we were dehumanizing Vietnamese. They were gooks. They were slopes. You know, we were using all those terms kind of developed at that time. And we were in a war that was merciless. We were napalming and doing all kinds of things there. And our people. I have breakfast regularly with a group whose lives were permanently changed and damaged by serving in that war. And we didn't really have a good purpose at the time. And now here we are forming what is a significant alliance, at least a trade alliance as well as alliance of other sorts, with this country, which remains communist, but a very effective country in terms of its economic growth. So, you know, the world does evolve, and the boogeyman of communism clearly isn't quite the same boogeyman that it was in 1965 when we decided that we had to stamp out communism in Vietnam. Because here we are embracing a country that remains communist but is doing very well. So, you know, I think it's a lesson that some people choose ways to govern themselves which works for them and their culture and which we don't prefer.
CJ.
Well, I would agree with that. We don't agree with it, but, you know, our options are few.
Why are our options few?
Well, do we sit back and watch Putin walk across Ukraine? I pray not.
CJ,
money,
to what expense?
CJ, though. Putin, you know, you realize Russia is not a communist country now. It's the furthest thing from communist. It's an oligarchical market economy, but its markets are all rigged. But it's the furthest thing from communist. It's further from communist than we are.
But my thing is, even if they are communists, don't nations have a right to be what they want to be? If people want to be communists, if people want to be capitalists, if people want to be what's the other one?
Socialists.
Socialists. They have a right to those, to be that, don't they?
Well, I think he was talking about now Russia invading Ukraine, and that's different. But I just was saying that our concern about that invasion shouldn't be premised on a notion that somehow it's a communist risk, because it's not. Russia's left communism behind to its own detriment, possibly, because what they've embraced right now is probably much more damaging to the people.
My thing is, it shouldn't have been our issue in the first place, and it clearly is not our issue now. CJ?
Well, it isn't okay when they're walking across another country, and Putin believes communism should come back. And the mere fact that this president.
But where's communism? Actually, CJ, a threat to America.
We don't need to get into this, but you should you should read more about that, because Putin is tremendously anti-communist, unfortunately, because communism would rip from him and all of his colleagues all of their wealth. So he's not favoring communism. He might favor the notion of restoring the boundaries of the old Soviet Union. That's a different story.
But I'm saying, even if that's the case, how is that our business?
When they're going into another country and trying to do it and destroying democracy, it is our responsibility.
Okay. Well,
and it wouldn't have happened if we would have maintained Afghanistan and this president would have listened to his military advice.
All right, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Paul from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Paul. You say what, sir?
Good morning. How are you guys?
All right.
Wow, CJ's a little too much coffee this morning. I like Sandy. Sandy's an old-time moderate Democrat. I didn't think very many of them existed anymore. Me, I'm an independent. I remember where I was on September 11th. I was actually working for a shift. And, yeah, they let us all, like, you know, stop running the machines and go watch the TV. It was rather, rather unbelievable. Response to Sandy needs to, or not Sandy, CJ, he needs to do some history.
That's a big mistake.
on the Ukraine situation over there. And he also needs to maybe look into Afghanistan. I mean, we needed to get out of there, but the way we did it, the way it happened, it shouldn't have happened that way, but we did need to get out of there. I agree with Sandy during, 50 years ago, we were deep in Vietnam. And, that was a dirty, messy war. And, obviously they knew that they could never win that war from the beginning. Those people just wanted their freedom, or they wanted to have the control of their own country. I don't know if you want to call it freedom, but, that's my take on it.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much for the call, man, as always. Let's do this. Sandy, we got a minute before we go back to the phone lines. We got to go to a break. You want to respond to anything that?
Well, I think that if we really stand back, and historians will stand back and look at the Ukrainian situation, they have to go back to 2014 when we Americans and we Westerners did meddle in the Ukrainian election, in which the Ukrainians had elected a Russian-leaning president. But they elected them, and there was no international evaluation of the election which suggested that the election was rigged. And then there was the Maidan Revolution, which in part was funded by CIA and by our activities, in which Victoria Nuland and our Secretary of State was very involved, and they basically threw out the guy in a non-democratic process.
All right, got to go to a break. Dave, Tom, we'll get you on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover,
of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Daytime highs approaching 63, winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows level off around 51. Cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 64. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies expected. Mainly sunny skies and calm Wednesday, with daytime highs approaching 63. 70 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 58.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Dave from Mequon. Hey, good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. So when that day happened, I was actually slated to go to work in the morning and meet with some tenants, and I was in the process of rehabbing something, and flip the TV on, and I'm like, oh my God, it was surreal. And there's certain events that you just remember, and I think the only other two events that really had a huge impact in my life besides 9/11 was when I was a kid. I was in Spanish class when the space shuttle Challenger blew up.
Right.
Because that was on that space shuttle, and we were watching it on TV. And as soon as that blew up, I just knew that something was amiss. And the other thing that I remember as a kid that had not a huge impact, but a smaller impact, was when Ronald Reagan was shot. I thought that was it. And the only reason why that came to being was, Earl, you obviously remember when both Kennedys were killed and when Martin Luther King was killed. My parents certainly, reflect on that. And my dad, because he's older, his big thing when he was a little kid was when the start of World War II started. And, through our generations, there are certain events that we'll always remember. And like I said, 9/11 certainly, I think, was the biggest impact as far as my perspective, as far as seeing something, tragic once.
Dave, I think you're onto something. Jungian psychologists who look at like social psychology would look at cohorts, and, the Earl and my cohort, I'm a little older than Earl, but our cohort went through the 60s with the assassinations of the president, of his brother, of Malcolm X, of Dr. King. We had the Northeast blackout, in which people thought we were being attacked. I was experiencing that. We went through a whole bunch, and then we went through Vietnam,
yes,
which was this mysterious war we were in that was horrifying. And so that formulated a sort of a social experience, a shared social experience by a whole cohort of people. And these things have an impact on us. The things that we all share as experiences that we all can remember very clearly are things that impact us as a group and create a mass psychology that is sometimes positive and sometimes negative. And no question that 9/11 was a huge event to us, and some of its psychological impacts on us societally were positive and some negative.
It's one of the reasons why. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, man. You say what?
Hey, Earl. First off, good morning. Great Packer game yesterday.
Jordan Love seems to have the confidence, and it seemed like it was a very well played, fundamental football game.
He played against the Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah. I understand. I understand. But you know what? You can't win them all if you don't win the first
one. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
There you go. what I was wondering is, how do the past generations of, soldiers that were in Vietnam, that were drafted into Vietnam, and now if they go over and they visit Vietnam and they see, what a paradise it kind of is over there, is there any type of, anger, or is there any type of, that all these people, all of their brothers, all their, people in arms died for somewhat unnecessary war once again, like we do a lot in this country?
Well, you look at our wars, the wars we've had in the last 50 years, and almost all of them come down to the unnecessary category, in terms of their duration or what went on. I know a large group of people who were Vietnam vets, and they are lifelong angry, lifelong damaged, lifelong affected by, because they went off to do something that very quickly after they got there they realized was not what it was cut out to be in terms of their thinking as to why they were there, what they were doing, and then what they were doing was so horrifying. And what was happening to them was so horrifying that I think everyone in this country ought to have friends like that who went through that, so they could understand the horror of war, so that we would be much more reluctant to participate in them.
Sandy, the difference between them coming back from Vietnam, one of my brothers was there at 17 years old fighting walking point. At 17 years old in the jungle, and it impacted and affected him for his entire life. But the difference was, when they came back, they were vilified. The troops from Vietnam, they were vilified for decades to come.
Well, I think they were. I wasn't as aware of that, and I've talked to these veterans, and they didn't experience it much themselves.
Well, Milai with Cali.
There were definitely. We definitely committed war crimes in Vietnam, including napalming, which is against the Geneva Convention. The war is horrible, and the people who've come back from Afghanistan and Iraq have the same sort of bitterness associated with what they're doing, because they get there and they realize, we wanted to install a government in Afghanistan, but Afghanistan wasn't ready for or wanting that kind of government. It was a country of warlords that was needing the conversion that was necessary culturally to have Afghan move from what it was to what we envisioned for it was an unachievable consequence. And in Iraq, we didn't like the government there. We didn't like its leader. The world probably didn't. But instead, we left them with a vacuum that has been very destructive.
Sandy, after it's all said and done, and I think it was last week, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it, but the amount of military guys who have committed suicide is outlandish. And that's the part of it that nobody really talks about.
Well, and you should understand that's happening for a reason. We need to take stock of what it is that we champion and what we do, and we need to figure out why we're doing it, and we need to figure out end games. I think I ended a show a couple of weeks ago with the same problem. We don't have end games. We don't have end games for wars we get into, and we don't have end games in mind for our public policies. We don't have an end game for our health system. We don't have an end game for our education system. We're constantly putting Band-Aids on and being reactive, and we need to get much more proactive.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, as always. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Sandy. You've been tuned into the Erlingham Show. See you later.
Forever, it turned out so right for strangers in the night. Doo-dee-doo-bee-doo. Yeah.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You know, you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.